Blog Talk Radio.
You never knew you would fail. You never knew you'd go through the things you've been through. You never knew that you would fall. But I heard his voice say, I heard his voice say, here's the pain, it is not your fault. Failure, it is not your fault. Genius, it is not your fault. Poverty, it is not your fault. You never knew you'd be broke. You never knew you'd cry the tears that you cried. You never knew you'd lose the things you love. But I heard it for me. I have the news, I have the news. That's your fortune. Good heavens, that's your fortune. Be abundant. That's your fortune. Increase. That's your fortune. I have to embrace. Come on and need to remind me.
Your portion, good news, God's grace, God's help, God's knowledge, all good news. That's all we want to hear is good news. Come, let us reason together, good news. See what God is offering for you. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. Truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Bell for a word of prayer, and then we're going to get right into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen.
The scripture I'd like to open up with is coming from Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Praise God. I just wanted to share that scripture because when that song was saying that portion, and our portion is good news, which is the word of God. And so I just wanted to share that scripture today. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you, Father God, for another day, thanking you that we can come together and study the word together, Father God. And Lord, we pray that each and every one of us, that we will listen with our heart, Father God, and draw closer to you. Those that have called in, those that are listening by internet, Father God, let your word speak to our hearts today. Father God, we pray for our pastor. I ask that you would continue to be with him, guide him, lead him, and allow him, Lord, to teach this word, Father God, so that we are able to understand it, Father God. And Lord, we bind up anything and everything that may try to come up against him and hinder him from getting this word out. Lord, be with all of those who have asked us to keep them lifted up in prayer, Father God. You know who they are, name by name and one by one. Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus, that they will have a testimony for you. Be with all those that are sick and shut in, Father God. Be with those who are bereaved, and be with those who are going through, Father God. Your word reassures us that you will keep us as long as we keep our mind on thee, and you will keep us in perfect peace. And Lord, help us to trust in you with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of thy ways to acknowledge you. And be with the sick and the shut in, Father God, for by your stripes we are healed. And Father God, we're so thankful for the reports that we have, that those that have asked for prayer, that you have been merciful to them and bless them, Father God, and to be home from the hospitals and working miracles in their life, Father God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough for all of your many blessings. Now, Lord, have your way. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. God is so awesome. I tell you. He is awesome.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Thank God for you, Pastor. Beautiful prayer. I just love the way God uses you. You know, the enemy don't want us to pray because he know when we start praying sincerely, God hears and answer prayer. And God don't start thanking him, because when you start thanking him, the devil get crazy. Like, when did they get this? When did this happen? Because he don't know. But anyway, I'm so happy to have each and every one of y'all. We're going to go into this lesson over in Matthew's 22nd chapter. And I think it's at the 14 through, I want to say we read from the 14th verse. I know that's where we started at. And I said we could read at least to the 21st verse. So I'm going to ask Pastor, she'd be so kind to read from the 14th through the 21st verse.
All right, Pastor. And that's the 22nd chapter of Matthew. And I'll be reading it from the King James. It says, for many are called, but few are chosen. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodian, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teaches the way of God in truth, Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, said it unto them, Whose is this image and subscription? They say unto him, Caesar. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Amen.
Amen. And let me go backwards, and I'm going to go to what we were. Listen, brothers and sisters, all of these are parables in this 22nd chapter. So Jesus gave this parable about the texts. He gives parable about the resurrection. He gives parables about the greatest commandment. And also He gives parable about the wedding. Now I'm going to say a couple of things about the taxes, because the Jews, I should say the Pharisees too, they were, but mainly the Jews, they regarded to paying taxes to support the Roman government. So they hated the tax because the money went directly to Caesar. Or if I should say directly to Caesar's tray. So where there are some of them, they didn't like that. They didn't like the idea they were supporting and they were giving the money to Caesar to support his temple, support the things that he was doing. And just in life, like the lifestyle of the Romans, period. So Caesar put his image on the coin. And it was a constant reminder of Israel's subjection to Roman, or subject to Roman. And with this, you remember Jesus avoided this trap by showing that he had dual citizenship. How do I know that? In 1 Peter, I have to read this too. In 1 Peter 2 and 17, you be so kind to find that, Pastor. But the enemy is going to always try to trap you. So Jesus was letting them know that they were going to be trapped. And they was trying to get Jesus to say the wrong thing. So they could say, uh-huh, how can you do this and how can you do that when you're a citizen? So our citizenship is required to pay more money. So this is what he alluded to. But over in 1 Peter 2:17, read that for me, Pastor, please.
Okay, Pastor. Honor all men to hood. Fear God. Honor the King. Amen.
So he had to recognize that he had to not get caught up in the trap, in this trap. So he says, okay, whose subscription is this? And they said, then Caesar. So that belongs to Caesar. So Jesus said, okay, then give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God what belongs to God. I just right. wish I get that right there. Get that revelation. Catch that revelation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Amen.
Well, I got to give the Lord his portion. God's name ain't on that money. I mean, his face ain't on that money. That money belongs to whatever country you in. If it's America, because, you know, a lot of foreign countries, especially these third world nations, they put people's face on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You go over to Jamaica and whoever ruling there. Matter of fact, right there in the UK, they getting ready to put the king's face on that money.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you say you're giving it to the Lord when it's king's face? That's his money. So that's what Jesus said. You give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give the Lord what belongs to the Lord.
All right. Amen.
Yeah. Stop allowing people to tell you they're giving it to the Lord. They, oh, I got to go pay my tithes. That ain't even God, man.
Mm.
That ain't God. Christ is the end of the law. That was the law. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He's done away with that law stuff. It's a curse. If anybody hang up. So the law was a curse. So Jesus did away with all of that. All of it. He did away with it, brothers and sisters, so we can truly become new creation. But in this story, I'm going to get on to this story here because it's beautiful. When you think about the wedding, how that this was their culture to invite special people. And mm-hmm. once you've been invited, the guests were to wear certain clothes. I kind of went over to some of this yesterday, but they was expected to wear certain garments. Everybody didn't, but those that wore certain garments, that meant you were special. That meant you was invited, man, to the banquet. In other words, many are called, but a few are chosen. Everybody was called to the wedding, but everybody wasn't chosen. Preach, I'm trying to do the best I can. See, everybody been called, but have you been chosen? Well, we're going to show you how you know you've been chosen or not. Only a few was chosen out of that. Everybody, hey, all y'all come on to the wedding, come on to the wedding. And then when they get there, it's only a few that is chosen.
All right.
How do you know you're chosen? Because you get a band. You get to put on the garment. You get to put on showing that you have a personal invitation. So it was customary for the wedding guests to be given a certain garment to wear to the banquet. So when the people would see that, they would be excited because they knew. And for you to, that's kind of like unthinkable to refuse to wear the garment that you were given to be a special guest. No, you jumped at that. You jumped at that opportunity. See, when you can understand their culture, you're going to understand what I'm trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
And I'll just fast forward some things. So, but as long as you got the understanding that you was one of those that was chosen, you're one of the few that was chosen. You are very special. See, a lot of people call. Some of them call in the Baptist, Methodist, all these different, all of them call, but only a few are chosen, and you get chosen by the word of God. God himself chooses you right through his word. And he tells you, okay, here's what you're to do now. The wedding clothes pictures the righteousness needed to enter into God's kingdom. Man, I just think that's awesome.
Yeah. Amen.
The acceptance in God's eyes that Christ gave every believer righteousness, but everybody didn't accept it. Some people trying to get their own righteousness. Some people trying to do their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So people, they don't want to accept what Christ, God did in the man Christ. They rather establish their own righteousness.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So everyone, but each person must choose to put it on. on God's garment, on his righteousness. And that righteousness is eternal life. The invitation that we receive to accept the righteousness that God gave us. I guess that's why I like that scripture over in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin for us so we can become the very righteousness of God in him. See, the 132nd Psalms and the 16th verse, I'm going to ask Pastor to define that. The 132nd, 16th verse, as Pastor, she'll find that for us. You want to put on this righteousness, brothers and sisters. That means when you put that, accept God's righteousness that's through Christ, that means you done put the garment on, okay? That's what that means. That's about plain as I can make it. If you don't accept his righteousness, you hadn't put the garment on. If you're trying to get your own righteousness, you about like that man in the story who was sitting over there, and they said, well, what you doing up in here? What you doing up in here? You ain't got to be. We don't see you with the righteousness. We don't see you with the clothes. We don't see you with the garment on. In other words, we don't see you with God's righteousness. But so, mm-hmm. I don't tell you, it's serious stuff, man.
Amen.
So they bind the man up and throw him out. Because the one that was chosen was only a few, but the ones that were chosen, they put on the garment.
Amen.
And it's real plain. You can tell who got the garment on, who don't, because they accept God's righteousness. They let their stuff go and say, okay, because he put on their garment, you had to take yours off. So you take yours off and throw it away, and then you accept their garment, and you was part of that a wedding. See, many are called, but a few are chosen. The chosen one get to put the garment on. Did I say that right, huh? The chosen ones get a chance to put the garment on. Everybody didn't put garment on. Just the chosen one. Like
all
I said,
right.
The bridesmaid, the groom, the maid of honor. These are all putting on. See, these are the ones that was chosen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are. You've been chosen. You got a lot of friends right now. Don't even know this. They just been called. That's all. They've been called. But they haven't been chosen. You're
mm-hmm.
among the few that's been chosen. So you think more of God's righteousness than you do your own righteousness. You think more of God's church than you do their church. See, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You've accepted God's righteousness. But in Psalms, what I say? 132:16. Read that for me, Pastor.
Yes, Pastor. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Amen.
Now, I don't know if y'all got that or not, but we'll read it out another translation because I want y'all to hear this. I want you to hear that God have clothed us with righteousness. Why? Because we're that few that are chosen. Listen, dear heart, you have that in another version, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor, from the New Living Translation. It reads, I will clothe its priests with godliness, its faithful servants with sing for joy. Amen.
Yeah. So you've been clothed. Over in the book of Isaiah, I want to say it's 61:10.
Isaiah. 61.
Thanks for reading from me, Pastor, because I'm having issues with this here. I know. See, I just look at it like the Lord wanted you to read this because I can't even get my thing going right here. But it's all good because God has blessed us with you. So read that for me, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. Amen.
And that ain't plain for you, huh? That ain't plain. Plain enough for me.
Amen. Amen.
He'll allow us to create this righteousness. He given us this clothing, this garment. But it's this garment that he's given us. And he expects for us to wear this part of your salvation. It won't be hard to detect who's who. Believe me. It will not be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God did this. Who did it? God did it. He put this in. He put
Thank
this on us. He have declared this. Not man. God did this.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
We ought to be rejoicing. My soul shall be rejoicing. My soul shall be happy. Why? Because God have clothed me with his garment. Can I say that one more time? With his kind of garment. Not man. See, man has a different standard.
Mm-hmm.
But God's garment is different, brothers and sisters. Listen to me. You should be overwhelmed. You should be ecstatic.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because you got on some of the finest garment there is. Matter of fact, everybody looking at your garment because they know you've been chosen.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
And that garment is called righteousness.
Yeah.
Don't you love that?
Yeah.
Somebody ought to be talking about right now, I'm a bridegroom. Somebody ought to be talking about, I'm a maid of honor. You know, I'm dressed down with God's righteousness from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And it ain't nothing I need. He gave me the garment. He gave me the garment. I can't even claim it. I can't say I had it tailor made. God gave it to me. I can't say I went and bought it. God gave it to me. He wanted me to come to the wedding. And in order to come to the wedding, I had to get dressed. I had to get from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You see the jewelry I got on. It came from God. Hallelujah. I didn't have to buy it. He told me to wear this jewelry. It's called righteousness.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah, when you see the bride or she got on her stuff, well, God trying to tell us a story here, brothers and sisters. Hey, this is a parable, man. This is a parable, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, see, you worry about, so a lot of people worry about the wrong thing. This is something Jesus said. Pay attention because it's in red.
All right.
How do you get in the wedding? You wasn't invited. The Bible said the man was speechless. What he gonna say? Look at my garment. He was speechless.
Yeah.
So the king told the attendant, so get him out of here. Bind him, hand him, get him out of here. Throw him out. Throw him to the wolves. Matter of fact, put him into the outer darkness. With the rest of those that weeping and grinding and gashing their teeth and crying and weeping. He said, throw them out there with them guys. They can't be part of this. And that was terrible, brothers and sisters. You want to have on your garment. You don't, because God going to expect everybody that's in the party. Everybody at the wedding, God going to check them out. That's what he did with this gentleman.
All right.
Matter of fact, he even went. He said, "Friend." He said, "Friend, How you get up in here? What happened to me? How you get up in here, friend? Because, see, they was up there eating oxtails. According to the scripture here, they was eating oxtails. Mm-hmm. They was eating some of the best our food was available. I mean, and this man sitting up there feasting. What you doing up in here eating food? This is for the righteous.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shame. See, God fixed it so you can't even lie. This man couldn't even lie.
Amen.
He couldn't even lie his way through this one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Bible said he was speechless.
Yeah.
Everybody could see. Everybody could look at him and see he didn't have righteousness on. Mm-hmm. That's how it's going to be in God's kingdom, brothers and sisters. When he called the roll, when he called us, you're going to have on righteousness or you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Everybody's going to see. They're going to see you for what you really are. They're going to say, oh, no, you ain't part of this. Where's your righteousness at? So that probably leads us to some things, because I'm going to talk about righteousness. See, righteousness is to know your right.
Mm-hmm.
Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God. But I'm going to talk about the revelation about righteousness.
All right.
See, I've always been religious, but I haven't always been right.
All right.
What makes us right is having knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know there's a difference.
Yeah.
And we might talk a little bit of why we fail about righteousness. See, righteousness is available right now. And you want to receive what God has for you. You want to go on and put on your garment. Because there will be a master watching over everything.
Yeah.
It's part of the garment that you have to wear. And it's not any kind. It's the God kind of righteousness.
All right. Say that.
Big difference. See, that's why that man was speechless. He couldn't even imitate it. He couldn't even make something like it.
All right.
Listen, brothers and sisters, I know a lot of times people, they want to imitate God and so forth and so on. But let me tell you what, to have this eternal life, it requires God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that you get it by faith. So we'll continue on discussing it, putting on that garment so you'll know what you put, so you can walk around with God's garment on and take that other garbage off. Okay, we ran over just a tad bit, but this is the place where anybody had any comments on the lesson, press 1. If there's something you want to say, press 1. I know tomorrow is Thankful Thursday, if I'm correct. If I'm not, Pastor, correct me. But tomorrow is Thankful Thursday, so for those that don't know, you ought to be thankful for righteousness. Thankful that you've been invited. You've been invited to the banquet, man. You've been invited to the wedding.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, I wanted to read.
Go ahead.
I want to read Isaiah 61. In verse 10 from the Message Bible, it said, I will sing for joy in God, explode in praise for deep in my soul, from deep in my soul. He dressed me up in a suit of salvation. He outfitted me the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom who puts on a tuxedo and a bride. A jewel tiara. Amen.
Say it.
Amen.
Say it.
Isn't that beautiful? Ooh,
that's awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that what we're talking about? Is that clear or what, huh? I didn't even know that's what that read. I didn't even know that read like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really didn't know that read like that.
Praise God. That's the Lord using you, Pastor. Amen.
But that's what you want. You want God's righteousness, brothers and sisters. You want the kind he puts on you.
Yeah.
It's easy to be religious, brothers and sisters. Let me be clear. It's easy to be religious.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody can't accept God's righteousness because it doesn't fit in a box. It doesn't help feel like you want it to feel.
Help us, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Anyone else? Just press one. Hallelujah. Press one.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
But read Isaiah, brothers and sisters, when you get a chance. When you can read 61 and 10, look what God did for us.
Yeah.
If you're not rejoicing, you know, that's why we ought to be thankful, man. You can rejoice all the time because God just clothes you.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
It's the joy of the Lord, man. When you know that you have God's righteousness on, God's joy.
Yes, Lord.
See, I don't know how to dress myself. God have to dress me. He have to dress me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Isaiah said.
That's right.
He has dressed me with the clothes of his salvation, man.
Yeah. Amen.
He gave you a robe of righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
I like the fact that Isaiah said, you know, just like a bridegroom, he says he dressed for his wedding. I want to be part of the wedding. I don't know about you.
Amen.
I want to be part of this wedding.
Mm-hmm. So do I, Pastor. So do I.
Yeah. Salvation, eternal salvation, brothers and sisters. Look at it. That's what you do. Let me tell you, you're the light in this stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of, just for the carnal-minded people here, you know how you feel when you put on, because it's not feeling, it's knowledge. It's not feeling. It's a transcend feeling. This is knowledge. Can you imagine putting on something brand new and you look good in it? That makes you rejoice. That put a smile on your face. I don't care who you are.
Yes, amen.
And I'm not talking about people who've been homeless and now they, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have money to buy all kinds. That's why they shop like they shop. They shop to the drop dead or whatever. Because then, man, I'm going to look good in this here. Come on, somebody. You know how you feel.
Go ahead.
You know
say
how
that.
You feel when you put on something new, brand new, and it fitting you and you tight and you know it's right and people bragging.
Okay.
Girl, that dress, that girl, them shoes, honey. And you got matching nails to go with it, too.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Accessories. And you women know about this. When you put them accessories to it.
That's right.
Things start popping. That was
right.
Young. You
popping. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You gotta see that. If you can see it in the flesh, now try to see it in the spirit.
Ooh.
I almost said something about Evangelist Renee, you know, when she put on her her football stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. Say
and that's one of them Steelers fans. That's one of them Steelers people, isn't it, Pastor?
You got that right, Pastor.
Boy, when them Steelers put them jackets and them robes, and I mean, you can't tell them nothing. They wrap themselves up in that garment.
Yep.
They start feeling victorious. Now, if people act like that in the flesh, How you think they'll act in the spirit when they put on God's garment, his garment?
All right. Yeah.
Well, if nothing else, we're going to see you guys on tomorrow for the word at noon.